Welcome to As It Is, a 30-minute program designed for English learners. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English. We also explain words and language rules, all while bringing you stories and information from around the world.
The mass shooting in Orlando, Florida this month was the worst in modern American history. 49 people killed and 53 more were injured. During the massacre, the shooter told an emergency telephone operator that he was faithful to the leader of the Islamic State. The Orlando shooting is one of several recent attacks in the U.S. in which the killers say they support Islamic extremist thinking. These violent events have made many people ask, why is Islamic extremism attractive? And is Islam itself the problem? The Center for Cyber and Homeland Security is one of many groups in the United States that studies extremism. One of their methods is to follow IS supporters on social media, such as Twitter. Researcher Audrey Alexander says, social media makes the IS group seem real and powerful. The Islamic State and its online messages have influenced a small but active number of supporters in the U.S. Last year, 56 people were arrested for taking actions to help the group. Researchers do not know why these people support violent Islamic extremism. VOA spoke to terrorism experts who said IS supporters in the U.S. have little in common. Of the 56 people who were arrested, 86% of them were male. Almost all were American citizens or legal permanent residents. They were between 15 and 47 years old. Many were not even Muslims when they first became supporters of the group. Lorenzo Vedino was one of the researchers. He says those arrested had all kinds of backgrounds. IS supporters have one thing in common, however. Anne Speckard is a research psychologist. She is the director of the International Center for the Study of Violent Extremism in Washington, D.C. She says people who are likely to find IS attractive are off track. In other words, they are failing in their lives somehow. Speckard has interviewed hundreds of IS supporters throughout the world. She says religion is part of extremist ideology, but it is rarely the most important part. She says joining an Islamist extremist group or even discussing it on social media often provides meaning and purpose to a person's life. She tells about a young Christian religion teacher who lived with her grandmother in an isolated community in the northwestern United States. After IS murdered an American reporter, she tweeted, "Why would a terrorist behead a journalist?" IS answered, "Because this is a revolution. Blood is shed in a revolution, and we are changing the world." The IS recruiter then asked the young woman, "Did you know Islam is the completion of Christianity?" The question was the beginning of the woman's conversion to Islam and radicalization. Speckard says the woman was lonely. Then, all of a sudden, people were paying attention to her, tweeting her, offering to Skype with her. And eventually, says Speckard, she converted because she wanted to belong to something. She wanted something in her life. In the case of Omar Mateen, the man who killed 49 people in Orlando this month, investigators still do not know how much contact he had with the IS network and ideology. However, they have a lot of evidence that his life was off track. His first wife said she divorced him because he became violent toward her. She said she believed he may have been suffering from bipolar disorder, a sickness of the brain. A coworker said Mateen often insulted women and other groups. And Mateen's father said his son was deeply angered after seeing two men kissing. These cases, along with information researchers are collecting, challenge the belief that Islam is the cause of many terrorist acts. Psychologist Anne Speckard says many IS supporters have converted to Islam because it is meeting a need, not because they are necessarily looking for a religion. If Speckard and others are correct, and religious beliefs are not the cause of violent extremism, some may now ask this question: how do we use our resources effectively to stop attacks?
North Korea appears to have successfully launched a mid-range missile after several recent failures. U.S. and South Korean officials said North Korea conducted two tests of its Busudan missile Wednesday. The first missile failed shortly after launch and crashed into the Sea of Japan, also known as East Sea in Korea. But the second was able to fly about 400 kilometers before falling into the sea. U.S. military officials said the missile did not reach the 3,000-kilometer distance it was designed for. It apparently also did not demonstrate the technical ability to accurately hit a target. But analysts believe the latest test did show that North Korea continues to learn from each failure. Since the second missile did not crash very quickly, it showed clear progress, they said. North Korea is believed to have up to 30 Busudan missiles, which were first deployed around 2007. The first known Busudan test happened in April this year. Jeffrey Lewis is the director of the East Asia Non-Proliferation Program at the Middlebury Institute of International Studies in California.
This is a very important milestone because the previous launches had blown up either very shortly after launch or possibly even right at launch. And so this is a real sign of progress.
International tensions increased this year when North Korea carried out a nuclear test in January and launched a long-range rocket 1 month later. The United Nations Security Council ordered strict sanctions on North Korea for carrying out those tests. The UN has also condemned the country's human rights record. North Korea's missile tests in recent months show the sanctions have not had much effect, according to Lewis. Pyongyang is still able to get materials and technology for making the weapons, he said. North Korean leader Kim Jong-un has declared his country a nuclear state and responded to sanctions by conducting more missile tests. Japan said it would issue a strong protest to North Korea for the latest violation of UN sanctions. Japan's self-defense forces have been on high alert in case North Korean missiles enter its airspace. Anti-missile launchers are stationed around Japan. South Korea called the missile test a clear provocation against us. A South Korean spokesman, Chung Sung-hee, urged North Korea to put more effort into peace on the Korean Peninsula and their people's livelihood. In Washington, U.S. State Department spokesman John Kirby condemned the launch. He said the United States planned to raise its concerns at the UN and try to get international support to hold North Korea accountable for these provocative actions. I'm Brian Lynn.
In a rare and difficult mission, a plane successfully rescued two sick workers from the U.S. Science Station at the South Pole Wednesday. The medical rescue took place in the dark. Regular flights to the South Pole are usually considered too risky between the months of February and October. The Amundsen-Scott Station is run by the National Science Foundation. The plane arrived there after a difficult 2,400-kilometer, 9-hour trip from a British base on the Antarctic Peninsula. NSF spokesman Peter West told VOA the rescue operation went according to plan.
Well, it was a very challenging operation for the pilots, for everyone who is around to support the pilots, everyone from weather forecasters to flight followers, all those people. So it was extremely challenging, and they have performed exceedingly well in the face of those challenges.
The National Science Foundation did not release the workers' names, nationalities, or medical conditions. The NSF decided last week to evacuate at least one person from the station. The station has a doctor and a physician's assistant. They make contact with doctors in the U.S. as needed. But the worker needed medical care that the station's doctor could not provide. They decided to evacuate a second worker who was also sick. West said the rescue operation was considered risky because right now Antarctica is always dark and extremely cold.
It is dark there now because we're into the Antarctic night. It is very cold. At the South Pole, the average temperature is minus 60 Celsius, though it can be colder and it can be warmer. There is weather to contend with, which is not the same as temperature, blowing and drifting snow and all of those things.
There have been three emergency medical evacuations from the Amundsen-Scott Station since 1999. In 1999, a flight rescued the station's doctor, Jerry Nielsen. She had breast cancer and had been treating herself. She was rescued in the Antarctic spring when weather conditions are somewhat better. Rescue operations also took place in 2001 and 2003. Tim Stockings is the operations director at the British Antarctic Survey in London. He told the Associated Press that the latest rescue mission is pushing the limits of what is safe and acceptable. Things can change very quickly down there, he said. The air and Antarctica are unforgiving environments and punishes any slackness very hard. Tuesday afternoon's temperature at the South Pole Station was minus 60 degrees Celsius, according to the NSF weather station. The wind chill made it feel like minus 78 degrees Celsius. West said, "The extreme cold affects many things on planes.
Most aircraft are not set up to be able to fly in very cold temperatures. The hydraulic systems that move things around, like flaps and that sort of thing, freeze very easily, get cold very easily. There are issues with fuel and how cold that can be."
But West called Twin Otter planes used for the rescue mission very tough aircraft. He said they are designed to fly in conditions as low as minus 75 degrees Celsius. A South Pole webcam showed the station in the distance during the landing. West told the Associated Press there was some light because of the full moon. West called the research taking place at the Amundsen Scott Station very important science. Research at the station includes astronomy, physics, and environmental science. Scientists have been researching gas levels in the atmosphere, including carbon dioxide, for more than 50 years at the South Pole. Until Wednesday, there were 48 people living and working at the South Pole station. Now there are 46. The National Science Foundation runs two other science stations in Antarctica. I'm Ann Ball.
This is What's Trending Today. A jaguar was killed in Brazil on Monday after it got out of its leash. Earlier in the day, it was shown off during an Olympic torch ceremony in the city of Manaus. The mascot of the Olympic Games in Rio de Janeiro is a cartoon-style jaguar. A person wearing a jaguar costume appears at many of the pre-Olympic events. The Rio 2016 Organizing Committee apologized for using a chained-up wild animal alongside the Olympic torch. "We made a mistake. This image goes against our beliefs and our values," the organizers wrote in a statement. Jaguars are extinct in two South American countries and are in danger of disappearing in Brazil. Many animal rights supporters were upset that the big cat was killed. The Brazilian army said the animal was first shot with a tranquilizer dart, but still walked toward a soldier. The use of the jaguar at the event was also illegal. A government authority that oversees the use of wild animals said no request was made to use the jaguar at the event. And that's What's Trending Today. I'm Dan Friedel.
Time, acts of war, and natural disasters can damage and destroy the world's artistic and cultural objects. More than 1,000 years ago, fire destroyed the Library of Alexandria in Egypt. In 1755, an earthquake destroyed Ribeira Palace in Lisbon, Portugal, along with artwork inside. In modern times, the Taliban used explosives to destroy the huge Bamiyan Buddhas in Afghanistan. And even more recently, the Islamic State group purposely destroyed much of the ancient Syrian city of Palmyra. Museums store evidence of culture and history, as well as exhibit great works. A major goal of most museums is to ensure that important historical objects do not disappear forever. The Uffizi Gallery in Florence, Italy, holds 1,250 pieces of ancient Greek and Roman sculpture. These objects have inspired artists, historians, and anthropologists for many years. So, the museum is working to create a complete and permanent record of the artworks. The project is a joint effort between the museum and scientists from Indiana University in the United States. The team is using low-cost technology to create digital copies of Uffizi's ancient sculptures. The process is called photogrammetry. It stores the art in digital form. At one time, this process was slow and costly, but not anymore, said IU professor Robert Fisher on Skype. He said photogrammetry is now less costly and much faster.
Now we can gather the 3D data on a life-size statue in a matter of a half hour, and we can process the data in a matter of a half hour to a couple of hours.
The images permit the viewer to examine the sculpture from all sides, and when the viewer zooms in, the image becomes clearer. The Uffizi hopes to have the collection completed and available on the internet by 2020. I'm Katie Weaver.
Last week, Apple held its yearly Worldwide Developers Conference. The company announces new technology at the event. WWDC 2016 included news about updates to Apple's operating systems. Today, we will tell you what is new for iPhone and iPad. Apple says iOS 10 is the company's biggest operating system release ever. It says it introduces 10 major new features to iPhone and iPad.
The iOS 10 includes a new design for the lock screen, notifications, and apps. iOS 10 brings a lift to look feature. Just raise the phone and notifications appear on the lock screen. Apple says the iOS 10 also makes it easier to open the camera app from the lock screen. Swipe the lock screen to the right to open the camera app. Slide the lock screen the other way and widgets appear. The widgets are now more interactive, including streaming live video.
In iOS 10, Siri, Apple's voice assistant, gets new powers. Developers will be able to include Siri in apps. Siri can search for photos in apps such as Shutterfly and Pinterest, start and stop workouts in apps such as Map My Run and Runkeeper, and book rides in the apps Lyft and Uber.
Apple says that text suggestions are smarter in iOS 10. Suggestions for next words will become more exact and include groups of words as the system learns the user's typing habits. QuickType is also designed to change languages without changing keyboards. The iPhone is to recognize the language in use and suggest words in that language.
iOS Photos will use advanced computer vision to recognize faces and places to ease search and organization of photos. The Photos app can create albums that stay on the iPhone and can be shared with others.
Apple's Maps app will get a new design in iOS 10. Slide up from the bottom of Maps for suggestions about travel times, places to visit, and calendar appointments. Traffic will be included on the path the user is navigating. The app will show traffic ahead and provide suggestions for places to visit along the way. Maps will also offer better paths based on traffic. Maps also will work with other apps, so users can make a restaurant reservation and book a ride from within the Maps app.
Apple Music will be better organized to make it easier to use. Users will be able to access downloaded songs from a tab. Lyrics will be included in songs so you can sing along using the right words.
Apple News, the news app that was introduced last fall, has grown to include 2,000 publications with 60 million monthly readers. Paid subscriptions to publications will be offered for the first time, so users can read both paid and free news sources within the app.
Smart home devices can be reached through the new Home app. View security cameras, control lights and doors, set the thermostat, and more from the app. Devices can be programmed in the app with a new feature called Scenes. Users can ask Siri to control the devices through Home.
iOS 10 brings changes to voicemail. Messages can be read as well as listened to. The iPhone will be able to give alerts about possible spam numbers.
Finally, Apple made many changes to its Messages app. Links sent within Messages will show photos and can play video without having to leave the app. Users will be able to send handwriting, drawings, and their heartbeat in Messages. Full screen effects let users put images in the background. I'm Marnoosh Karamian Ainsworth.
And I'm Marcia James.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.